Hello everyone, it's Chris Chico and Gary Boomershine, and I want to welcome everybody to today's huddle call. Today is August 25th, Tuesday, and on our call today, our purpose of the call is just to discuss meaningful topics, review the old questions, answer any questions you might have about anything whatsoever. The call is scheduled to go for an hour. However, if we don't have enough questions or if we've discussed everything that we need to on the call, then it may end sooner. As always, a couple email addresses, reminders, if you need anything whatsoever regarding your REI Vault accounts, anything regarding Podio, changes to your mailings, frequency, whatever that may be, please reach out to us at support@salesteamlive.com, support@salesteamlive.com. Most members don't realize we actually got about, we have quite a substantial staff, almost 20 people. Maybe upwards of 20, actually, if you consider everybody. But that means that any ticket, 26. 26? I lose track.
26.
Yeah. And so the reason I mentioned that is because always when you send something to support, there are multiple people that see your request at the same time, simultaneously. And so that means that then we can get you what you need right away. Versus if you send an individually a request to someone, and they get stuck in somebody's inbox, I'm sometimes guilty of that. Versus sending it out to the team in general, we make sure that hey, it gets handled as quickly as possible. If you need any help with your deals, anything related to a deal, you need advice on, send us an email at dealhelp@reivault.com. Dealhelp@reivault.com. Both Gary and I get those emails simultaneously, and either he or I will respond or sometimes both, depending on the nature of the question. And as always, love to hear your suggestions. If you send an email to suggestionbox@reivault.com, suggestionbox@reivault.com, and anything we could do better. And lastly, but not least, to raise your hand in order to ask a question, hit *5 on your phone. If you hit *5 again, it toggles your hand down, so you can just raise your hand up and down. But to raise your hand, and we'll see it on our dashboard here, and then we could go ahead and unmute your line. And to unmute yourself, and if you unmute the call, then just, if you have a lot of background noise, then just go ahead and mute yourself out. And I think that is it for the introduction, Gary. I know you were away for the last couple of weeks, and so anything that you want to maybe cover? I don't have anything specifically on my end, but maybe you have something to cover before we open up the call?
Yeah, a couple quick topics. Something that many of you probably are not aware of. However, we've got a lot of people. I shouldn't say a lot of people. We probably have maybe 10 or 12 people that are real heavy volume mailers that are doing anywhere from 20 to 50,000 postcards a month. And so we have a service. If you have your own marketing list of names and addresses, you know, the big cost in mailing is number one, the postage, and then number two is the cost of the list. That's why, some of our postcards are more expensive because just the nature of the cost of the list. If you have your own mailing list that you've built and you want to mail, we can do that. The REI Vault staff can actually do that for you. Even if you have your own postcards or letters or whatever you want to mail, we can still mail that for you, and the cost is substantially less. And let me just tell you what it typically is looking like. It's anywhere from 39 cents to about 45 cents a postcard, and that can include the VA that processes the lead. So the difference between 39 and 45 cents is usually volume. So if you're above $5,000 a month in marketing, it can be a lot lower, just the nature. I think like click-to-mail, like Chris, is like 42 cents a postcard. So usually
42, less. Yeah.
Yeah, so we're usually less. What you can do, if you have your own mailing list, what you'd want to do is send an email to support@reivault.com, and you can get a price quote. You can just say, can you give me a quote and give a copy of the list, or, basically, because we're going to have to look at the list and the amount of cleanup, and then what your volume is. Like, you want to mail, 20,000 postcards a month. and our team will come back pretty quickly and give you a quote. And if you've got a custom postcard or a series of postcards, it doesn't matter whether they're in black or you want them in color, you can just send that over and then our team can give you a quote and we can manage that for you. We've got a couple of members that are doing, one member does over 50,000 pieces a month, and he was having to go outside because he didn't know we had this service. So that is available. Just email support@reivault.com if you want to get a quote. And then the second thing I'll say is we've also set up a new service for being able to do live answering of the 24 live operator. We are using Pat Live, and we can actually set that up for you. And it's all set up and integrated, and Pat Live actually can enter those leads directly into Podio for you. And that is an option. We don't recommend it for some of the larger mailing lists. The REI Vault, the standard is to send it to a pre-recorded message. But in some cases where we're sending out like handwritten yellow letters or a more targeted letter, like the shipwrecked list as an example, where we're going direct to the seller and saying, hey, we want to buy your house, and they know on the postcard that the purpose that we're mailing is to buy the house, some of those we may want to drive to Pat Live. And normally it takes you, 7 days to get it set up with Pat Live, and they charge you, I think they're like $80 a month minimum, but that includes like 50 minutes of calls. But our team can set that up. It's not a profit center for us, but it usually takes us about 20 minutes to 30 minutes to set that up and have everything pre-recorded for you. And Pat Live is trained on how to enter that information directly into Podio. So if you want something like that, we're not recommending it for any of the REI Vault, the standard big list that we're mailing. But if you've got some custom stuff, or maybe you have a website, or you've got pay-per-click or some other types of media banded signs, and you want Pat Live set up for you, we can do that for you if you'd like. You could just send an email, and then the team can give you they'll just get some basic information on what you're trying to do and your volume, and then we can set that up for you and give you a price quote on it. So with that, I guess we can open up the line, Chris.
I was muted.
No problem.
I don't see any hands raised. Do you want to just open up the line?
Let's just ask. If anybody has a specific question for today, you want to ask Chris or myself, go ahead and press *5, and we'll bring you into the call. And if not, maybe we'll open up the line. I believe, Justin, you're on. I know Justin had a painful situation where he lost the deal, and I'd love to talk about that, maybe get some feedback from others as to what we could have done. So I'm going to let Justin raise his hand if he wants to talk about it. But it was a deal that he lost to a competitor. There he is.
Justin Lee.
Is this the rub the salt in the wound part of the monthly calls here?
Hello?
No, you know what? It happens. I can't tell you, Chris, Hello? How many deals have you and I lost based on price timing.
Can you hear me? Or does anybody hear me?
I can hear you.
Justin?
I can hear you.
Chico?
Yeah, okay.
Chico and I have lost our fair share of deals. I lost a building, a six-story building, an office building that would have put about $1.5 million in my pocket a few years ago. I didn't share that with you a couple of days ago, but it was a deal that was a slam dunk. I had it in contract here in California in a great location, and it needed about $800,000 worth of HVAC work, and I brought a partner in on the deal, and it turned out that the guy was actually under indictment for fraud, and it was a buddy of mine that alerted me, and I called my attorney, and my attorney basically told me to pull the plug. But it was, literally I had over 100 hours into the deal, and it was locked up, beautiful six-story building, like 50,000 square foot office building. And it was a home run. I had it I had owner financing. I had Washington Mutual at the time agreed to allow us to assume the loan for a period of 12 months. And the seller was going to carry back a note. I was picking this thing up for like $1.6 million. It was worth $4.2 million after having the HVAC done. And I lost it. So I feel your pain, brother.
Well, yeah, I figured we've shared some success stories, so we may as well share one that was a bit of a kick in the nuts. But, I mean, I know you and Chris have scrolled through the history. This guy was a rambler that you can see. Like, I think he used up the whole 5 minutes on the voicemail message. And he was driving back and forth between the Bay Area and San San Diego to clean something out. And the long story short is he was really hell-bent on $350. We were at $270, and I remember we'd gone back and forth, multiple conversations. We'd been out to see the property. My partner had. It just wasn't working for us, and I shouldn't say it wasn't working for us. We just didn't think it was a deal at $350, and we wouldn't have done the deal ourselves at $350. And the long story short was that the last conversation that I had with the guy about 3 months ago, I remember writing in the comments something derogatory about the guy, like he was being a jerk, or I probably used more choice words than that. And my partner called me on Monday and said, hey, do you remember that Dennis Miller deal? The guy's from Fortune Builders, whose their home base is San Diego, so we're competing with them head-to-head on a lot of stuff. They picked it up for $283 and did a same-day double escrow and sold it for $380. And, you know, I've been through it just trying to think of my partner and saying, you know, what could we have done differently on this? You know, I don't know how much there is that we could have done differently. The guy never answered his phone. You're reliant upon leaving him a message and him calling you back. And I'm guessing it was just probably a situation where they just did a better job of building rapport, maybe.
Were you sending him? Emails or was he getting follow up letters from you?
He had a pre sale and he was in the sequence.
Interesting. Hmm.
So, you know, that's that. I mean, I'm always about learning from our mistakes, you know. But I think this one might have been it could have been a personality issue, conflict with me and him. It could have been a timing thing. Yeah,
but it also wasn't like it wasn't a situation like, for example, let's say that you knew that guy was a deal, and I suppose that at the time he was willing to sell it for $280, but you couldn't get a hold of the guy. At that point, then maybe you would have sent somebody there. Maybe your partner would have gone there. You would have done something. But at the price point that you were, it wasn't the right price. I guess maybe just something happened in his situation. Maybe that changed all of a sudden, and then it just maybe could have been a matter of timing. They were there at precisely the right time that happened.
Could have been. I mean, you know, we always say, well, you know, I stole this from my the guy who I was doing work with in St. Louis. His line is, "Don't tell me what you can't do. Tell me what you can do." Mm-hmm. So when he said, "I can't do 270, what can you do? Well, I can do 350. Well, there's no way we can get you to 350. You don't have any flexibility off that number, none whatsoever.
Right.
So, you know, maybe it was a situation where we had been in at 270 and Fortune Builders had came in a little higher, and he saw that as, you know, well, hey, everybody seems to be around the same price. I may as well take the money and run.
Yeah. Where could you have come up to? Could you have come up to 280 or 285?
Say that again?
Could you have come up to 285?
Oh, yeah, for sure. But we never even had the opportunity to get in there, you know. And at that point, we were so far away, I didn't see the point of coming up to 285.
Yeah. Yeah, it'd be really interesting is to go back to some of the deals that you made offers on, have Shane do this, your VA. But maybe go back to the deals that you've made offers on, pre-sale offers, and have her use RealQuest or the MLS and see if those properties have sold, and maybe send out another offer and start it over again.
Yeah.
Or at least pick up the phone and figure out, Chris and I have been chatting about this a lot. We could share our deal. But we're finding, especially in this market, you're probably better off putting deals under contract and getting them at least in contract and then renegotiating them. Chris and I, we picked up that deal. We put it into contract at what, Chris? 120? And then we renegotiated it down to 105. And then we just sold it, and we're making $20,000 in profit or $25,000 in profit. And we would have never got the deal into contract for 120. Or I'm sorry, we would have never gotten the deal into contract for 105 initially. It was only after building a little bit of rapport and having a chance to go back to the seller. Because, again, half the battle is getting them to sign that piece of paper, right?
Yeah.
So, and,
yeah, you're right about that, because we had it on the contract for 120, and then we went back to them, and it would have been, you know, I guess they don't want to come and start with somebody new. Then maybe that's why she gave us the. We actually went in at 98, and she said no, and then we ended up at 105. So the only thing, I would go back to that. The only thing maybe would have been going back and putting it on the contract at whatever that price would have been, and then trying to go back and renegotiate. But it could have been just that maybe just the guy got tired. You do the best you can, but sometimes it is about timing. Like, it's just about being there, and maybe they were there just at the precise time.
Yep. Oh, well.
Yeah. The other interesting thing on our deal, Chris, that we originally chatted with this lady well over a year ago. I mean, it might have even
more than
been closer to 18 months.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So.
It was. That was back when the Calvin was run. So, quite a bit ago.
Yep.
I'm sorry to hear that. I would kid with you and say again, you know, at least you have the exchange rate going, but nobody would know what we're talking about.
I would.
No, maybe you think you do, but maybe you don't. It was a thread back and forth.
Initials, CB.
Initials what?
Corey.
Yes. Okay. Oh, you got that. Okay. Never mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
So looks like I'm gonna put you back on mute here, Justin, for a moment. Looks like Art has a question. Let's bring Art in. All right, Art, you are live.
Hello.
Art.
Yes.
How are you?
I'm doing fantastic. The knight is back up on his horse.
Really? Okay, well, tell us more about that. What's been going on?
I don't know. The floodgates just kind of opened up on me, Chris. I just sold 6 properties.
Really?
Yeah. And I just got a text right now from a guy. I showed a property on Sunday afternoon. He just texted me and said, I can do 153. I'm like, okay, this works for me.
If you don't mind me asking, what's the, I know we kind of had a different conversation, right, a couple months back, and you were making kind of some changes in how you approach things, and so obviously it sounds like maybe it worked, or can you give us some insight as to what was the turnaround for you?
Yeah, I was being too cautious, and I just kind of opened it up. You know, I just said, you know what, I have all these properties under contract, and, you know, I'm going to get a lot of calls from realtors. So I started I just put it out there. And, you know, the other thing is, we had to push my ass through was, you know, making offers. You know, that just by making offer after offer after offer, and, you know, getting these deals under contract, you know, I was prejudging, which was my biggest flaw, you know. I'm thinking nobody's going to buy this property. I'm prejudging. I'm going through these properties. I'm looking at it. But you know what? Some of the shit properties that I have are the ones that sold. I mean,
interesting, yeah.
I just started running again, you know. I'm going out, showing the properties, doing my thing, and, you know, all of a sudden everybody's making offers, you know, and they're, you know, I'm getting my money. I got, most of them are $5,000 a pop, you know, for my fee, so that was a pretty good week.
Yeah, excellent. So I guess it's just maybe just to recap, I think you were being your own buyer, but you're really not your buyer because you're not the one that's going to close on them, and so you're allowing basically just taking a chance but allowing the open market to really tell you if that's a deal or not versus you making that decision when you were trying to tie the property up. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
I just stopped second-guessing, you know. I'm just like, I look at it, I make the offer that I think, you know, is good, and, you know, if they accept it, they accept it. A lot of them have been. And, you know, then, you know, the other thing I did was, you know, I built a website, which cut down on my turn time, you know, responding to people from Craigslist and Postlets and Zillow and all those good places, you know.
I see.
And that really opened things up, because now, you know, I have you know, people that are perusing that site all the time, and I'm, you know, I'm capturing their information. They got to opt in. So I have a back-end funnel built to where I can...
This is for buyers, right?
Buyers and... buyers. Yeah, buyers.
Yeah.
Awesome. Yeah, not for sellers.
And you're posting... I want to go back to another question I had, but on this here, on the buyers, when you're posting on Craigslist, question I had for you is, what's the response mechanism? Are you just putting the link and then they have to copy and paste the link to the web browser to go to your site and then see the property info and then be able to sign up for your list?
On Craigslist, you can't put a hyperlink in the ad. You used to be able to do that. So what I'm doing is, and that was another change I made. Now I'm posting the, I was never posting the address. Because I guess I picked up that from your virtual wholesaling. You said not to do that. So I figure, well, you know, what's the difference? You know, so I just went in the other day and, you know, put the address because that just saves me, you know, people from asking me, you know, what's the address. But anyway, when I respond, to answer your question, is yes, I am copying. The only thing I do is I have a pre-canned message. I swap out the address, put the hyperlink. I use the Google URL shortener. Copy and paste that into the email, send it off to them. And just, you know, the ones that respond back, you know, want to see the property, I set it up, go out and show them, and, I might have to show the property 4 or 5 times, but, you know, so be it. You know, they're moving. They're selling now.
Art, what's your process for on the sales side when you're talking to these sellers? How many conversations are you doing most of the negotiation over the phone, or are you having a chance to meet these people in person?
I want to say 95% of it's over the phone. I do meet some of the sellers. But 95% of it's over the phone. The only time I really meet the seller is if the property's vacant or they can't. They set up a time for me to. They have to meet me at the property because it's rented and, you know, whatnot, and then I'll get to meet them. But I want to say for the most part, negotiations are really done over the phone.
Are you on the first call? Are you usually giving them an offer, or is it multiple phone conversations?
You know, that's a very good question. Basically, on the first call, what I usually do is I get additional information on the property. Very rarely will I make an offer on the first call. What I'll do is I'll get updated information. I need to know if the electrical plumbing's been updated, windows, roof, age of the roof, furnace, hot water tank, all that stuff, if there's a mortgage on the property, if there are any back taxes, which I can find out anyway, but I just, make it look like, I need to know that information before I can make an offer, because that, kind of factors into what the cost of repairs is going to be, if they're going to need a furnace, a roof, whatever, hot water tank.
Right. And you're testing their motivation at every question that you ask, right?
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Some people miss that.
How they talk to me, and I just, I they're motivated. I mean, some of them are a little squirrely.
On the deals that you sold, what would you say are all the buyers? Are the buyers for the deals that you sold all from Craigslist, or some of them from Craigslist, other from other sources? Where did the buyers come from?
That's a good question. Let me look. Doug Hammond, that was Craigslist. Two of them were from my investor base. And the fifth one was Craigslist. Majority were Craigslist.
So you're taking and you're posting on Craigslist a picture of the property, a description, you're putting the address, and then you're asking them that if they want additional information to go ahead and reply to you by email, and then you respond back with a template that includes your website, which allows them also to get on the list as well, or maybe you save the email address anyway.
When they respond from Craigslist, I don't get their email address. I usually pick that up if they respond back to my email.
I see. Okay.
Because then I can capture their email. And then in order to – what I did was the template that I'm using for my website, I could only upload 10 photos. So what I did was I linked it to Infusionsoft, and I created a hyperlink on that page where they have to opt in to see the additional photos. And I just ask for name and email address. Really, I don't ask for
right.
phone number.
Okay.
I make it as easy as possible, and then as soon as they opt in, obviously I get notified somebody opt in for photos, and then there it takes them right to that page with the additional photos, and then that's how I capture their information.
Are you just a quick tool that might help you? Are you on the Windows machine or a Mac?
Windows.
Windows. There's a tool that I use called Breevy, B-R-E-E-V-Y, as in Victor, so B as in boy, R-E-E-V-Y. It's a text expander. So let's say, for example, that you're replying back to these people, so you're kind of copying and pasting, and you have a file that you have everything copied and pasted to. Well, this is a little program runs in the background. So let's say that I had an address, 123 Main Street, and that address is one that I have on Craigslist right now. And so every time somebody replies, I want to send them the address. I want to send them a little spiel and maybe a link to the URL and a few other things. So what I could do is I can make it whatever characters I want. But let's say I could say, anytime I type in #123, because maybe that's the address and it could be whatever number, it automatically just types up this text that I pre-program into the program. So I use that all the time. And it comes in handy in instances like that. So, for example, an example would be my business address, which is like 4302 Hollywood Boulevard, and I have the suite number and the zip and everything else. And so now I have a text expander that whenever I type in the numbers 4302, automatically it just types out the whole address. And so just, if you're doing that copying and pasting and that sort of thing, if you use that, and it's relatively cheap. I think it's $20, but I can't live without it, and it'll run in the background, and you can just pre-program it. And so whenever you're going to do stuff like that, it'll just write in the email program. You just type in, say, pound, and then maybe the numbers of the address, and off, it'll just populate everything, create the little text, and you hit send, it'll make it a lot more efficient for you.
Is it called,
really
is it called Breezy?
Breezy. B-R-E-E-V as in Victor, Y.
B-R-E-E-V.
Right.
Okay.
The Mac or Apple version is called A-Text. So A-Text for Mac is pretty much the same thing.
Okay.
I had a question for you, Art. So I asked this just to kind of for me to get better clarity on it. I know in one of the conversations that we had a few months ago, one of the things that came up was it had to do with you making offers, and it was about the fact that I think you were hesitant on making offers because I think you were making offers in a way so that because you didn't want to really tell the seller that you'll buy it because you don't really felt that you could and you needed to get a buyer. So you're just kind of maybe making an offer, but not really an offer in an indirect way. I don't know if you recall that conversation. I wondered if that changed or how did you maneuver around that?
That definitely changed. Sometimes it's come back to bite me in the butt a little bit, but for the most part, I have the ability to establish a very strong rapport with my sellers. Okay,
mm-hmm.
I establish that trust, I eventually meet the majority of my sellers, it's all about just act like you know before you know. Sometimes, do I know if I'm going to be able to move the property? No. But, I definitely and definitively tell them that I got a strong investor base. I'll put the property out there, see what we come up with, and just instill that confidence and communicate with them at all points in time. That's huge. When they don't
mm-hmm.
hear from you, then things have a tendency to go south. When they hear from you all the time, you're constantly updating them or if they email, you respond right away or as quickly as you can. It's just that constant communication back and forth. That's huge. That's just absolutely huge. And, the same thing with the buyers, I had this one property. I didn't even put it on Craigslist. It was two duplexes in a nice rental area. And I just called them up and I said, look, you're my first call. They're two duplexes, 45 and 65,000. The one needs work, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, went out there, He took them both.
Mm-hmm.
And, but it took them a little over a week to get me the assignment contract back. He wanted his attorney to review it. He said, this is too simple. So I told him, I said, well, if you saw some of the clientele that I'm dealing with, you'll understand why I keep it simple. He said,
right.
So anyway, throughout that process, I was just constantly, I was bringing other properties up to him. Hey, what about this one? You like this one on Susquehanna, it's a duplex, it's a piece of shit, it's only 10 grand, Come on, you can do 10.
I guess definitely you have more confidence in the way that you're talking to the buyers, but in addition to that and how you present yourself to the sellers, so although you're not being disingenuous to them, but you're giving them confidence in that, hey, you got your shit together and you got certain avenues and you're going to do the best job you can make sure that it closes, and I think that's coming across to them. Would that be accurate?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah, they stick with me, A lot of them know the contracts have expired, but they're, I closed one last Wednesday. I mean, I started that one in November.
Okay.
November. And I finally got it done, but there are multiple buyers, but anyway, it's a long story. You don't need to hear that. But I got it done. That's bottom line. Closed on it. And, you know, my question actually was, the one thing I'm trying to get around, and I don't know if there is a way around it, but because I'm finding a lot of people on Craigslist, a lot of these people are, well, not a lot. The one that I just signed today and got hand money from, she's going to be living in the property, okay? And they all seem to want to do home inspection. Now, she knows the issues on the house. You know, she's been through the house and all that, but they still want to do a home inspection. How do you try to kind of work your way around that? Because a lot of times that can just blow a deal out of the water.
But I mean, are they looking? What kind of, are they going to pay cash? How are they going to pay for it? If they're looking to do a home inspection, like a real blown, full blown home inspection, but in the end, if all goes well, how would they close on it?
She's a cash buyer. She's got a line of credit on her house, and she's
okay.
gonna take it out of that and sell. She's, you know, gonna sell her house, but she can close on the property easily with the line of credit that she has. And I also
to me,
like offering private funding.
To me, there's no set answer. It's almost like, you know, it just depends on the property, right? So let's say if I got a property that is a hot deal, and I got a guy, you know, people that I know, hey, I'm going to send this guy over or even send him the photos, and he's going to take it on the spot, then I don't have any need to deal with a full-blown home inspection, you know what I mean, just because I got other options. Now, I would deal with that scenario, however, if perhaps, you know what, I got a deal that I don't think I'm going to be able to sell, nobody wants it, but this lady wants it, and she wants a home inspection, so I got nothing to lose, or... You know, maybe, you know, I got offers on the table from investors, but I got a lady who's giving me significantly more money that I'm willing to take a chance on doing a home inspection, in order to you know, in order to see if I can get that money out. The questions I would have for her, I would just say, hey, listen, if you're going to do something like that, I would try to dig a little bit and say, you know, have you done this before? Okay, could you give me some idea of what are some of the things that would potentially cause you to come back to me and say, you know what, this isn't a deal for me? And you frame it in the sense that not that you're trying to deny her of that, but rather that you want to try to save her some time and money. You know, you're going to have to pay for this property inspection, and if you want the deal and we could do this thing and it works out okay, then that's great. I'd love to do that. But maybe if you could give me an idea of what are some of the things that would be deal breakers for you, or some of the things that maybe are concern of you, for you, and either maybe I might have the answer, or maybe I could find out the answer from the owner, and you could still do the inspection, but if there are items that, you know, would cause you not to go ahead and go with the deal regardless, then, you know, it might be easier just for us to try to tackle that now, and then, you save the money for the home inspection, save it for another property that I might have. So that would be the kind of the conversation I would have with them. If I was going to do something with that kind of buyer.
Yeah, in addition to that, you could let them know that it's definitely as is. Sometimes when they want a home inspection, it's because they want to come back and renegotiate with you. So as long as you frame that and then also maybe put a clause into the contract with that buyer that you have the ability of canceling the contract until the contingencies are removed. So, you know, I wouldn't hold it up. To me, if you're rejecting a home inspection, that could be a red flag for the buyer. So
sure.
I would encourage them, hey, no problem. And then you have the dialogue to ask them, you know, what are they concerned with? You do want them to know that this is as is. So if there are problems, you know, that's going to be the buyer problem. And then, you know, just write you just say that until they have that home inspection and remove the contingencies, that you're going to have the ability of canceling the contract and selling it to somebody else because you're trying to move the property quickly as is, and that's why you've priced it as low as you have. And then,
right.
And then move forward. I mean, I don't think the home inspection is a problem.
No, I just, I it's happened, you know, I lost just one deal, but I don't really think I lost the deal because of the home inspection. But that's what she said. So anyway, I'm not going to argue with them. But I actually on this one, I mean, there have been a couple other home inspections that were done. I got a copy of them from the seller and sent them over to her. I said, you know, here, there's two that have been done, but she still wanted to. So, I mean, she knows what the issues are. The home inspections have already spelled it out. So, I don't know. I just, you know, just try to, because I'm hitting a lot of people that are, you know, buying these properties for themselves, not necessarily investors, it's always a source of contention, you know.
The big flag with me is always the financing, you know, because, you know, I'm willing to put up with an inspection, you know, if, you know, based on what I said earlier, depending on this property and what I got on the table and how much they're offering and how much I can make, et cetera. Also how quickly they can get the inspector out there too as well. But, you know, the main thing is I want to make sure that they're not going to try to do, especially if they want to live at the property or they, if somebody's going to occupy it and they're not going to rehab it, then, what's the financing, you know, if they're going to be using a line of credit or anything, not a line of credit, but rather they're going to try to do some conventional financing that I know is not going to work and it's going to just fall through at the last hour because they're shielding something away from the lender and thus, you know, getting you involved in potentially loan fraud. And so you don't want any of that. So those are the only flags that I really look for. If all checks out, then that's one thing that I try and really make sure of because I don't want any problems in the end.
Right. Okay.
Well, good deal. I'm happy for you. Keep us updated on your progress, but I'm really happy to hear that things are going well and seems like you're in a good stage of momentum. So definitely keep it going.
Right. I up my mailers. I added back those zip codes. I didn't realize when I asked the last time to put additional zip codes in that they cut the marketing on the other zip codes that I had been mailing to, and I didn't realize that they did that, and that's why everything kind of slowed down on me. So I added back in all of the initial zip codes that I was mailing to, and then I added, like 7 more zip codes just to
Okay. Keep
it up even more. I went through, it took a little while because as long as I lived in Allegheny County, you know, I don't know where all the areas are, you know, so I had to kind of sit there and Google each one.
Oh, yes.
Just to see what area I was hitting, you know. So it took me a little bit of time. But I did finally go through and just pick 5, and I have a bunch more that I want to mail to. But I figured I'm going to be mailing to 25 zip codes now. That should really give me a good shot in the arm. And, now that I have the system in place, you know, I got the website, I got, you know, everything in a good way so that, you know, I also have a VA that is responding as well to these Craigslist ads. So, every morning that's what she does, and then she will star the ones that I need to respond to. So, but, yeah, it's just, you know, the back end is huge. That just takes a lot off my plate. And, that's the other thing. I'm now, instead of responding to all these emails and, you know, I'm actually being able to talk to the buyers. And I think that was a big turning point for me as well, where I'm not just talking to sellers all the day. I am talking to sellers all, but I'm able to get these deals, get the photos, get them on my website and market it a lot quicker. That turn time is, you know, down to like a day versus, you know, 3-4 days to do everything because I just can't get out because I have to respond and whatever.
Yeah.
But that was huge too. So anyway.
Very good. Well, keep keep us posted. And just as always, man, I'm just really happy to hear that things are moving in the right direction. So very good.
Thanks.
Perfect. Thanks, Art. Thanks for sharing.
Yeah, no worries.
Will anybody else press star 5 if you have a question? Here we go. This is 910 North Carolina. 910-234, you're live.
Hey, guys. How's it going? This is Allie, Tennessee.
Hey, Allie.
Hey, how are you?
All right. You guys been doing all right?
Yes. No complaints. That's any day above ground. It's a great day. So today qualified.
Oh, yeah, I know, right? Good deal. Yeah, I had a kind of listening. I tried to catch a call the other week. I've been meaning to email you guys and ask about this, like what that last fellow was just saying on there. Believe it or not, I'm a little bit in the same boat with no website. The stuff I've been doing pretty much been working by phone and Craigslist. And I'm looking to do that, too, kind of what he was saying as far as being open a website like that. I know, Chris, I know you talked about Investor Carrot. That's kind of what I was looking at. And I was kind of looking for something like that, just a simple one just to put our properties on, get some seller or buyer information, capture all that, because I'm literally going through and, I'm emailing. Like he just said, I'm spending a lot of time emailing back to people, and I was just looking to do that. Wonder what you guys thought about that.
Yeah, Investor Care is great. It's a great template, and then it's a really easy way for you to put your properties up. And, you could really be up and running in a day with them versus starting, something from scratch. And it helps because in the end, you don't want every, if you reply back to 20 people and maybe 5 or 6 of them really are the ones that you go back and forth and maybe the property doesn't work out, but they get on your email list, that's perfectly fine because you only want the right 5 or 6 people anyway,
You don't want
a list gunked up with a bunch of people that are just, but systemizing it in a way so that information gets disseminated to them and then they have an opportunity to sign up for your list automatically. At the beginning stages, anything you could do to help you save some time and cut some corners in regards to what you got to do on a daily basis definitely helps. So, I'm a big fan of Beyond Carrot just because of the simplicity behind it.
Okay. All right. Well, I'm going to check that out. Same thing. I was talking to support there last week about drilling down in this one zip code. We did a deal a couple weeks ago, and about to get a couple more under contract. Kind of been going back and forth for a couple months with him. I think we're about to have a couple locked up. But it's a good area. And I was talking about doing the post-it note campaign. I'm just trying to figure out a carrier or a courier situation for that. But I know that we need to have you guys recommend having a website on there too on the card. So that was another thing. Before we get into that, I was going to make sure I had that in place. But again, just the email and, especially if you put something on Craigslist, you're getting I know a lot of tire kickers. We're not even, if it looks to me at all like they're like that, I really, it's probably not the best way. I know it'll turn around and bite me. I'm really not even, I prefer them to call, for whatever reason, getting a lot of emails. But, I want to go ahead and get that handled because I know it'll, I don't want to lose anything because of it, but I don't think it's cost us yet. But well, I'll check that out. Do you want that?
Yeah, the main thing that that Art, one of the things that Art basically he said that he's just he was trying something here, something there, and trying to make things work, and he just said, screw it, I'm just gonna try everything, right? I'm gonna tie up all the deals I can. The ones that I feel, hey, looks like there might be something there, who knows, but I'm going to give it a shot. And he just went all out on doing everything he could to get those properties out there, right?
Yeah.
I think he mentioned, even putting the address on Craigslist, and whereas before he was kind of concerned, well, should I do this or not do this because of, just relinquishing that control and just saying, hey, I need to get some of these sold. And some of them might get some problems here or there because I may go too wide or send the property out to too many people. But in the end, it all will work itself out. And I think that's what he sees is happening.
Yeah, well, I agree with that. And I listen, I know I talked to you and Gary, it's probably been about a month or so ago, maybe a little bit longer about that, about I need to make some adjustments here, like you were saying about the price and everything, just to make stuff that just flat out didn't look like a deal, man. And obviously, you know, the market was allowing it. We closed on one a couple of weeks ago. It was kind of the same thing when I was on the fence about a little bit. Talked to you guys about it, pretty much just locked it up. You know, it was a deal. I just didn't think it was a screaming deal, but got it under contract and just put it on Craigslist, man, and had it literally had it wrapped up. It wasn't even a week. It was a couple weeks ago, so it moved fast. But I said that to say I've been sitting on that for a couple weeks. I have kind of going back and forth. I didn't think it was you know, something that I personally would do, but market was. I got a lot of calls on it, a lot of emails. Actually, the first guy I showed it to is the one that got it. So that's, you know, like I was saying about adjustments or not being sure, that's kind of what I'm doing right now. But going back on some of the...
Just to make sure I understand, that was a deal that you had or somebody else that you had and then you finally tied up and then were able to sell, or that somebody else?
Yeah, I sold it. Yeah, I wholesaled it. Yeah, we signed it.
Okay.
Yeah.
So that was a deal initially that you were on the fence about tying up because of the price initially, but you still tied it up?
Yes, exactly. Okay. So it was you made $5,000 on it. Now you know, going back, left the guy some room, but again the margin was, you know, not much. Good property, just need a little paint and carpet, you know. But solid area, you know, solid rental. That's what the guys did it for, and just portfolio property. You know, nothing much to it. But again, just worked out good for us, but yeah, I had been on the fence, kind of going back and trying to knock another $10,000. I went back for, I know we also talked too, back. I went back for a price reduction after I had it under contract. Couldn't get that, but I was just happy. I knew this guy was solid. He was, you know, pretty fun. He was ready to go and a good buyer. So, you know, we've been in touch since. So he's a solid guy. So, yeah, I said that to say, you know, and I picked this guy up through Craigslist, you know, and through just call in like that. So it's some other good ones, but yeah, I'm trying to, I guess, like y'all were saying, I'm making adjustments too and trying to streamline some of that and try a few other things. So yeah, it's kind of going through a lot of the same thing, I guess, a little bit. So, but
back to the Post-it notes. Just a couple of little nuggets for you. Post-it notes definitely work. You can get them. There's a website I had built, reivault.com/post-it. I don't know if you found that, but P-O-S-T-I-T, Post-it. And there's a quick little video. You can get 25,000 Post-it notes for about $1,000, including the shipping. And we've had those around for years and years. They work really well. You definitely want to have a seller website. It works best with the seller website on these. And you can, you know, get some on carrot website. They're pretty cheap. And then in terms of the delivery of how to blanket neighborhood, you should just plan somewhere between 5 cents and about 14 cents per piece is about what the charge is. If you need a carrier, you can send an email to support@reivault.com, and we may be able to find somebody for you. Our mail house has them. The ones that are a little more expensive, closer to, you know, 12 to 14 cents a piece, they give you guaranteed delivery, and you can actually see, they have a GPS, so you can actually see every single one that's posted. That's usually the way they do it. But, you know, the Boy Scouts and Boy Clubs and things like that, you can usually get somebody to deliver them for 5 cents a piece.
Okay.
They work. A couple things, just a couple of last nuggets for you and anybody else that wants to do Post-it.
Yeah.
You're not going to get a ton of phone calls. You're going to get some angry phone calls, but you're probably, you know, in your market, I would imagine about $1,000. About $1,000 you should get a deal. $1,000 to $1,500 is what we're finding. So you have to put a lot of them out. Sometimes you'll get referrals. And those calls I would recommend having a live operator taking the calls. It's a low volume. So you can chat live. Yeah, I would, or have somebody take the calls live, because when the calls come in, there, what we've found is that it's not a ton of calls, but the ones that come in are usually slam dunk. So they're either angry, right? Don't ever post something on the door again, or slam dunk. And we've seen referrals off of those. So I would do it. You know, it's just another means, especially if you blanket, like, there's certain, you know, really good neighborhoods that you like. You know, you could post them and pick up a deal, you know, every month or two.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I'll
together.
I appreciate that.
Yeah.
I'll check that. And actually, I know that I talked to, actually got a call, I think, from Debbie not long ago about that, because I had put an email in. I think she gave me a couple ideas about that, about a curry. I've just had a few other things going on, so I'm actually going around trying to take care of that this week as far as getting that lined up. Don't really actually have a service, but I got a couple other things I think we're going to try as far as getting some help to do it. I was just a little bit concerned, you know, like you said, I'm only kicking, I was trying to figure out a way to track it. If I was to get somebody, kind of sub somebody out to do that, I just want to be able to kind of keep my finger, you know, make sure they're getting those on the doors, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But, anyway.
It's usually manageable. I mean, you could go, like, there's door hanging services. So in your local market, you can type door hanger, you know, courier or service. You can find different companies that will do that for you. Usually they can take a picture. They'll give you an update on what exactly they did and when they did it. But a few years ago, there were some stories of, you know, people finding them in the trash can and, you know, like a few thousand packed up. But they definitely work. They definitely work.
Well, good deal. I figured it would. Like I said, it was an area that we're getting good lead. But I just know that it's a solid area. Like I said, I know there's more stuff in there, is what I'm trying to say, you know, besides what I'm mailing to with this particular mailing. So, yeah, we're going to do that. Yeah, I just wanted to, like I said, get the website deal figured out here pretty quick. So. So y'all, as far as the post, then you would recommend doing that with a carrot too. The seller website. Okay. All right.
Yeah, Chico, the on carrot websites are pretty inexpensive, right?
Yeah, I think it's I forgot the pricing on it, but it's only $100, probably less than that. I think you can get the three different. I think their pricing plans. I have them here. I think it's $99 a month, so it's relatively inexpensive. They give you the three websites, one for buyers, one for sellers, or you can get multiple geographic locations. Just to have great support, I know Trevor there, so they'll take care of you. But it gives you a professional website, it does a couple things, you know, on the buyer side. You'll be able to use the website for buyer campaigns and posting on Craigslist and be able to get your properties. The other thing that comes in handy, though, too, is if you have a seller site, even if you don't use that seller site, every so often you might get a seller that says, hey, who are you and what do you do? How do I know you're legit? And, you know, just sometimes giving them a website and a URL and saying, hey, go here and you can learn all about me and my company and what we do, might be enough for them to say, okay, you know what, I feel comfortable, this is legit, and we'll do the deal and we'll do the offer. You know, so sometimes that comes in handy, too.
Yeah, that was another thing. You hit it on the head right there. That's another thing I want to do. I actually got a deal that was a really good deal a few weeks ago, 15, 20, actually a solid, we agreed to a solid 20 under tax value. It was a really good deal, rented out, you know, tenants in there, turnkey deal, man. Those guys just, they lived out of state and were just looking to pay off some other debt, so they wanted to, they were on the fence a little bit. We went back a couple times, and anyway, long story short, I talked to the husband, he agreed to it, came to get on the price. So I actually didn't do it through the system. I actually went through and overnighted an offer. overnighted it to him, got it in there, and literally the guy the next day, or whenever he got it, like a day or so later, he texted me and told me he got it. The guy texts me the tenant's phone number and the guy's name, just this guy, because, you know, I thought it was going to be neat to get in there and everything. So we already had that set up. Guy texts me back a little bit later that night. Said, "Oh well, you know, I've changed my mind, decided not to sell and all that." Like, you know, why? Oh, hey, after all that and everything, and next day, you know, let it sit for the night. Well, I couldn't get the guy on the phone by calling him, so I texted him. You know, what's going on? Is, you know, the price or what? You just feel, you know, the things going on, and finally, I got it out of him, going back and forth. He's like, "Well, my wife looked up your company, and she just doesn't really feel like you're legit, you know," which I don't get that. I mean, I got an LLC, and, you know, everything is, you know, up and up, all that good stuff. So, anyway, I think that was just them being funny or maybe going back on the price, or maybe they really weren't that motivated, you know, if he was making out, you know, maybe he didn't talk it over with her. So it could have been that, and like I said, there shouldn't be a problem me being legitimate. You know, it's not that hard to see all of that. So, but anyway, I think that would just be better all around, having the site. You know, we're real behind not having one. But anyway, we'll do that. Yeah, that's what we were wondering about.
There's definitely help. The Canva help, and it's like just having an ammunition that you can call upon if you need it, you know?
Yeah, sure. Absolutely.
Hey, I've got
one more question, and then we should close. Great chat, Mally. Let's bring, I think Justin's got one final question, and we'll call it a day. Justin, you're live.
Okay.
Hey, guys. I'm just wondering how you guys are handling this, because this has been happening to me a fair amount lately, and I try my best to keep my cool with the sellers, but it's not happening. I find it's happening more and more. One of the questions that we ask when we're qualifying them is, you know, we ask them, you know, given the state of the property and its current condition, what do you think that it's worth? And then our follow-up question is, how did you arrive at that number? I'm finding more and more now sellers are sandbagging me. I have no idea. I have no clue what my property is worth. I'm hoping you can tell me. And then when we come back to them with a number and we give them an offer, they knew full well all along exactly a number that they had in their brain, and they flip out on our number. Have you guys got any tips for doing a better job of getting a number out of the seller first? Because I'm a big believer in he who names price first loses.
Well, I mean, I'll give my answer, and then I know Gary will have an answer. I always like to play dumb. So if I don't want to say what I think it's worth, you know, in other words, if I'm talking to you as a seller, I know if I ask you, you know, what were you looking for the property? And he says, "Well, I don't know. You make me an offer." You know, give them a lower number, and then they're going to react. So let's say I give them a low number. They're going to react and say, you know, I can't believe you made me that offer. You know, I could deflect it by saying, you know, most of the properties that we buy are in really poor condition, and we're buying them at this price. And so, you know, maybe when I look at yours, it could be that, hey, it's a much better condition than what we're used to buying, and I could pay you more money. So what would you be looking for? And then that way I can kind of gauge that. So I tend to play a little bit dumb, either by saying that, you know, by saying, hey, that's what we normally buy, but maybe yours might be a better shape. And so I could always reevaluate it. Tell me what you were looking for, and I can see. I can always say, you know, hey, Mr. Seller, I mean, I talk to sellers all the time, and that's kind of what the price that we're being offered, the property similar to yours, you know, about that price is what people are offering us their properties. And so I'd be definitely more happy to reconsider the price and maybe look at yours specifically and see if it's better than some of the ones that we've purchased recently, then I can pay you more money. But I'm always trying to deflect it. It's not me. It's either the market. It's either other sellers that are offering us deals for these prices. Or maybe it's just that I don't know enough about your property in order to really make you the offer you want. And so then I try to deflect it that way. But sometimes I always assume, my assumption is that they have a number in their mind. They're not going to say anything. And if push comes to shove, most of the time I'm going to have to give them a number, and I'm going to have to be prepared to deflect their anger, frustration, disbelief, or just utter being upset at me in some way so that I can continue that conversation and get to that number. I don't know if that helps you, or maybe you're already doing that.
We are, and I mean, you know, we do the whole thing, like, you know, you had said, you know, hey, we've got a finance team that approves every deal, and I always blame it on the bean counters in the back office, and, you know, I'm only compensated if the deal closes, and if we don't buy your house, I don't make any money, and I don't like working for free, and, you know, I go through all that stuff, but it just seems like lately, and I don't know if these guys have just wisened up, or they're trying to be more coy, but it just seems like I'm coming across more and more people who, A, refuse to give me a price, B, claim they have no clue what the property is worth, and then C, freak out when you give them their offer. And no matter what deflecting you do, you know, I'm an idiot, so.
Yeah, but as long as, even if they say, even if they think you're an idiot, as long as you keep them on the phone, are they just saying you're an idiot and then hanging up and then now you don't have a chance to even have a continued dialogue?
No, but it's more like they're all of a sudden you name a number and now they're outraged and pissed. And then you can say, well, this is what properties in your neighborhood sell for. Unfortunately, there's been a lot of foreclosures in your neighborhood. The market's been dragged down. You know, this is what the market bears, you know.
I just got offered, I can't tell you the address because it's kind of confidential, but I just got offered a house similar to yours, maybe a half a mile away. So I could probably do the same as with that property, which is X. So you're kind of like, you know.
Well, then the smart ass answer I get is, well, if you can get a house for that much, I'll buy it from you.
I got my take.
Go ahead.
This is not a new problem. This has been an age-old problem, and it's not just in real estate. It's in every industry, including selling or buying cars or boats or whatever it is. Any big-ticket item, it's always the same. So you want to probe for pain, and then you want to investigate the solution together, and then lastly, you want to get them to take action, right, make a decision. It's part of the rapid sort of – it's what they call rapid, which is the sales model, right? Probe for pain. So if he who speaks first loses, or you already said that. So if you come up, there's no answer. It doesn't matter what you give. So you gotta whatever you ask, whatever questions you have initially, you gotta probe for pain and sense the motivation. Okay. So I know I'm giving you a lot of anecdotal information. I'll get to my point up here. But the other kind of key thing is, I always go back to, it's multiple conversations, right? Most deals close between the 5th and the 12th interaction with that seller. So I don't like, if a seller's not going to come to a number with me quickly, I will never give them a number. I will never give them a number. It'll always be a range, because one of the questions that I would ask, probing for pain, is, well, let me just ask you, how soon until you're planning on selling? How long have you had the property? I would always ask, how long have you had the property, you know, listed? And most of the time they're going to say, well, it hasn't been for sale. And it's like, well, if I spend the time with you or anybody, how soon until you're planning on selling? If you got the offer, you know, if you got the right price today, would you be willing to sell today or in the next month, right? So you got to probe for the pain. I would, for me, Justin, use it as an opportunity to come back and not give them the price on that first call. I would continue to ask them questions. Well, let me ask you, you usually know that house infinitely better than I do, and you've been living there, and so you're kind of trying to, you know, build some rapport with them. And then I would use it as an opportunity to come back. I would ask them the questions about, well, let me just, you know, I'll have my team spend some time and really do some detailed analysis and come back with an offer. How soon until you're willing to sell? If we came up with a decision, are you ready to sell, like, immediately to me or to somebody else? And you got to get them. If they say, well, I'm not really sure because I'm just responding to your postcard, then you know that there's no answer that you can give. And you're better off just continuing to follow up with them and interact with them, because they're not ready. And it's the same situation. You could come in today with the right price. They'll say no, and then a month later they'll accept the same price from somebody else because it's timing, right? So I would possibly, you know, continue to ask questions, not give them, and then say, gosh, how about this? How about I do a little bit more due diligence and prepare, you know, a little bit of an analysis of what we think the property's worth, and then maybe we call you back tomorrow or Thursday. What would work best for you? And then call them back and then walk them through some of the comps. I would just say, well, it's a little hard. Do you mind if I ask you a few more questions and hit them again about the property, just like Art said? You know, ask them about, have they done any upgrades? You know, your understanding is it's a two-bedroom, 1,200 square feet. Have they? When was the last time they upgraded? How's the carpet? How's the kitchen? Have they put granite, right? All the different questions, you know that they're going to say no, right? And then just say, well, it looks like there's a couple of properties. The range that I'm seeing is that these properties are selling somewhere between this number and that number. And then you play the game and say, is that pretty much what you're seeing? And what's the lease, if I came in right now, what's the lease that you would take for the property if I bought with all cash and we closed in the next 3 weeks? And still not give them a number. Just give them a range. Chico, I know you hate doing that. You don't like to beat around the bush, but that is classic sales. And if they're not ready to sell, you're going to lose the deal anyway. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
So multiple, unfortunately, it's multiple conversations. I ended up making 110 grand on a deal. This is a couple of years ago, but it was the lady wanted 750,000, and I ultimately bought it for 405 with an owner carry, and then I ended up selling it for a little over 550. So, but 750, and I asked her how she came up with the price, and she goes that she got an offer in 2007 for 750. And anyway, it ended up where I just kept interacting with her. I never gave her a number. I gave her a ballpark range. I said that we're going to be probably somewhere between low fours and maybe in the fives, maybe as high as 550. That's what I told her. And she goes, oh, I could never take that. And I ultimately bought it for 405. So it's just, and by the way, that lady, the reason she bought it is she ended up getting her car repossessed. And as part of the deal, I came in and salvaged her car from being taken by one of those title companies. She ran out of money like 2 months later. But I would have never been able to like keep the door open. So you got to probe for pain and motivation on the front end. Don't give them a number. That's my take.
Okay.
If you're in California, it's a little different. We're in a kind of a higher demographic, right? Price properties are a lot higher. You got to go in for the kill at the appropriate time, and you're not going to do that by, you know, giving price. You'll lose every 100% of the time.
Okay.
If you're kind of in a low demographic, it's a totally different, you know, a different game. I don't know if that helps, but
no, yeah, I'm going to try and put the range thing in there now. That's good advice.
Yeah. Cool, Chico. Anything else?
No, I don't have anything else.
Awesome. All right, guys. We're a little over on the hour here, but great call. We'll chat with you next week.
All right, perfect. Thanks, everybody, for attending.